And so you listen now to Matthew chapter 2, and I want to read beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Get me down just a hair, Brother Mike. For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel, Jerusalem with him. He is troubled. That's what's wrong with them people on TV now. The Lord troubles them. He'll bother you. The Lord will bother you if you're not right. That's good. He loves you enough to bother you. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, he wasn't wanting to worship him. He was wanting to kill him. Verse 9, And they, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, hold your finger there on verse 12 just a second. The Bible said these people came to worship the newborn king. They come to see the Lord. Now, I preached last Sunday on wise men still seek Him. The smartest people in the world are the ones that seek the Lord. The Bible said wise men came looking for Him. And if you're a wise man, you'll look for Him too. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. People got education that ain't got no wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. You can have a whole lot of knowledge in your head. It's like a chainsaw. It don't do no good unless you know how to use it. A chainsaw can do a lot of damage if a man don't know how to use it. That's knowledge without wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how to use the saw. And this morning, these guys came to worship the Lord, and there's something I want to point out to you. Verse 12, it said they departed to their own country another way. Another way. So, let's just imagine that right here is Bethlehem. Here's the baby Jesus. We have a manger, Mary, Joseph. And there's Judea. And there's the road to Samaria. And over here's the road to some other country down there. Well, these guys came this way. They was coming to find the Lord. They said, Where's the Lord? There's the star. And they rode for miles and 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 miles. And they finally got here and they saw Him. Then they had a dream that Herod was going to kill him. And the Bible said that they went back home another way. They didn't go that way. They said, let's take this route over here and went back home another way. Just like if you went to Hickory and you went down 40 and come back up 70. You came back another way. That jumped out at me one day. And I was reading that, reading the Bible, and it said they came, but they went back another way. I thought, why did the Holy Spirit, in the most important time in human history, take the time to write it in the Bible, they departed another way? And boy, it hit me just like that. And I thought, you know what? They came, they met the Lord, and they went back different than they came in. Amen? And I thought, you know, everybody does that. And so I want to preach this morning on the subject, you're never the same after meeting Jesus. Everybody that meets Him goes back another way. I've heard people say, well, I went to altar and it didn't do me no good. That may be true. I've heard people say, well, I prayed and it didn't do me. That may be true. You can go to the altar and go back the same way. You can pray and go back the same way. But if you ever come to Jesus Christ, you're going back different. He'll change you. Matter of fact, nobody in the Bible ever remained the same after encountering Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got saved or not. You still ain't the same after running into Him. Lost people different after running into Him. They get meaner. Amen? And if you get saved, you'll be different. Can anybody argue with that this morning? Nobody in the Bible remained the same when they run into Him. And it's still true today in our society. Jesus Christ is the center of human history. He's the cornerstone. He's the chief. He's the head. And everybody, all this controversy in the Mideast, all this talk about Israel and Iraq and Iran, it's still over one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this morning, you're never the same after meeting Jesus. Some were worse, some are better, but nobody's ever the same. Amen? Sometimes people get baptized and they're the same. Sometimes you can join a church and be the same. I've seen people come to church for 6 months and regular and then make a profession and not come back. I don't know about that, but I've seen them do it. And I'll tell you one thing, if you ever meet Jesus Christ, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. I want to say, first of all, this morning, the disciples were never the same. The disciples were never the same. Let's just let our mind go back to the Matthew chapter 4, verses 18, 19, and 20. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ now. There wasn't nothing on TV. Didn't have no TV. They didn't have no radio. Nobody except John the Baptist had announced that He was even here. Nobody knew who He was. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then here comes a man, a 30-year-old Jew, walking out on the hillside just like millions had done before him. To look at him, you couldn't tell any different from him than the average man of his day. He didn't have a glow around him, you know. He didn't come in shining raiment. If he's sitting in here this morning, he'd look just like everybody else. Hence, when he was here in the flesh, Bible said there wasn't even anything about him that we should desire him. Nothing stood out about Jesus Christ in the flesh that made him look different. But he goes walking down on the seaside one day, and here's some commercial fishermen. Peter and John, them guys, that's what they did for a living. I don't know if you've ever been around commercial fishermen, but they are rough bunch. I mean, you go down, anytime you're around the coast, them guys are down there, they go out in them ships, they let nets down, they pull in, and them guys are not nice. I mean, they cuss like sailors. I mean, they're wicked. They're rough. They work hard. And I mean, usually they're a pretty rough bunch. Now listen to this. Here comes a man that they've never met. They had never heard of him that we know of. And he just come walking down there one day. And he come walking down like this, just walking down through there. Here was Peter and all them guys. What are you going to do with him? I don't know, man. I guess I'll go over to the pub, you know, and sit there like an idiot and watch football games. And get drunk. And what are you going to do? I don't know. I just say, we're going to town tomorrow and, you know, probably play golf something. What are you going to do? I don't know. We're just going to kick back. About that time, this man walks by. And this man walks by and he stands there like this. And they turn around and look at him and he says, follow me. And as far as we know, that's all he said. Follow me. Now, I'm telling you something, people. A man's going to have something different about him to meet a total stranger who's planning on partying that night and going living for the devil and just walk by and says, follow me. And they left their nets. They quit their jobs, brother, and laid it down and said, following him. They said, where are you going? I don't know. Wherever he's going, that's where I'm going. I ain't never met nobody like him. I want to go where this man's at. I've drawn to him. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll never forget that night I met him. First thing I wanted to do is follow him. I wanted to be where he was. I want to be around him, and I still do this morning. Amen. Boy, can you imagine Peter going home that night, telling his wife? He had a wife, you know. We know he was married. The Catholic Church makes him the first pope. But if he is a pope, he is too pooped a pope. I'm telling you that. He wasn't much of a pope because he's married. And we know he's married because he had a mother-in-law. And we know he's saved because he requested prayer for her. He hadn't been saved, he just let her die. I mean, you know what most men do when their mother-in-law gets sick? You're getting her, Lord, out of the way. But old Peter went and told the Lord to pray for his mother-in-law, and the Lord healed her. And I know I'm jumping way ahead of you, somebody, but I ain't got time to wait on you people. You think too slow. You got to think fast as I can talk. And I'm telling you this morning, brother, I have people shake my hand going out and say, I just now got that, what you told a while ago. I have not got time to wait on y'all to think. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, brother, that the disciples were never the same. Can you imagine them going in that day and saying, honey, I got a new job. You do? What's wrong with the job you had? Well, I just got a new job. What is your job now? I walk around and follow this man I met today. She said, how are we going to pay our bills? He said, I don't know. She said, how much you going to make? He said, he never even mentioned paying me or nothing like that. He said, I just never met nobody like him. He's different. This man's different. I'm going to follow him. She said, well, you know how I imagine her. We'll starve to death. Are you lazy thing? What's wrong with you? Are you lost your mind? He said, honey, I met a man and we're going to follow him. I don't know what he done with his wife and youngins, but brother, they begin to follow. I'm telling you, the disciples were never the same. Amen. I knew he made an impact, brother. I mean, think of how many men they had met and forgot the next day. Think of how many salesmen probably come through. They met him for 15 minutes and never talked to him again. But this man made an impact. I'll tell you what, brother, they were just trying to make a living, but now they have eternal life. She said, how are we going to live? He said, we're going to live forever. That's what he said. We're living forever. She said, how are we going to live forever? I don't know. He said something about going to prepare a place for us. We're going to come back and be with him and all that. She said, are you crazy if you lost your mind? He said, honey, I believe him. I believe he's God's son. I believe he's God in the flesh. I heard that John the Baptist preached about him down there on the riverbank. He's different than any man that's ever lived here before. Thank God we're going to follow him. That's right, brother. The disciples were never the same. Now, instead of throwing his net in the water, he could walk on it. I mean, he was out there in the boat one day. This is how much Peter trusted him. I know a lot of people give Peter a hard time for cussing and denying the Lord, and he did mess up there. But I'm telling you, he had more guts than any of the rest of that crowd. He at least would step out and do something if it's wrong. And I tell you what, he got there that time, and the Lord come walking up, and Peter said, somebody said, that's the Lord walking on the water. He said, really, is that him? And he asked the Lord, he said, let me, you think I can do that? If you can do it, I can do it. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk on water. And the Lord said, come on, buddy. Jump in. And you imagine that. Now imagine stepping out of water, out of the boat, into the water, and it holding you up. Some old professor over at one of them colleges, one of them seminaries, they said, well, that was just ice, you know. And they're out there floating around in ice. In a boat, and he said that was ice, you know. And Peter just said, how do you sink slowly in ice? I'm telling you what, brother, his foot went through that ice. He went down just like Houdini. I mean, he'd never come back up. I'm telling you something, brother, that was not ice. It was water. And brother, he started sinking, and he cried out, Lord, save me, and the Lord grabbed him. Ain't you glad? It's a blessing Peter wasn't a Catholic. I mean, can you imagine him trying to pray, get his beads, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All he said was, Lord, save me. Three words. And the Lord grabbed him just like that. I'm telling you, the disciples were never the same. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he met a woman at the well one day in John chapter 4. And he said, hey, how about something to drink? She said, well, we don't usually talk to people like you, but I guess we might be able to help you out here a little bit. And he said, look, lady, if you know who it was talking to you, if you understood, you would ask me and I'd give you living water. And she said, what? And he said, you're one of them, you must be a prophet. And he went on with her, go call your husband. You know that story. Ain't got time getting all that. I'm telling you something, brother. She was never the same. That woman went back and told her family and friends, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. I'm telling you this morning, people, let the world say what they want to say. Let them believe what they want to believe. You're never the same after you meet Jesus Christ. You meet Him by faith this morning, things will never be the same. same. I'm telling you, the disciples were never the same. But number two, the doctors were never the same. We see him when he's 12 years old talking to them doctors. I talked about it last week, so I'm not going to spend time on it this morning. The Bible said he was asking them questions. And you imagine them doctors standing around there. Here's a 12-year-old boy, doctors of the law of Moses, standing around him. And they said, how did you get so smart? You know, they asked him, how old are you? And you know, he told him, he said, well, on my mother's side, I'm 12. But on my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. And they said, Lord have mercy, we ain't never heard nobody talk like that. And the Bible said he asked them questions. And he said, boys, how come everybody's DNA is different if evolution's true? And they said, what's DNA? They ain't even invented, they ain't discovered that yet. And he said, well, what about satellite TV and electricity and all that? They said, man, you talking above our head, boy. Never a man spake like this man. He knew everything from the beginning to the end. The doctors were never the same. I bet you they went home, got out their Hebrew Old Testament and tried to dig in there and find out who it was and where it come from. And some of them did believe. Some of them did say, this man is the Son of God. That's who Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 53, where it said, he's wounded for transgression, bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by stripes we've been healed. And they never was the same. The doctors were never the same. Never a man spake like this man. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That blew their mind. That blowed circuits, boy. Smoke started coming out their ears. They said, what do you mean before Abraham was, you am? He said, that's right. They said, you mean before Abraham was, you was? Nope, before Abraham was, I am. That's right, but that's what he told them. Never a man spake like that. The doctors were never the same. But let me say thirdly this morning, the diseased were never the same. Nobody that he ever met that was sick stayed the same. Isn't that something? That's amazing. I mean, the sick. There's a man, the Bible said, in John 5, that laid at a pool for 38 years. It'd be like laying in the hospital or in rehab or in a home, a hospice or somewhere for 38 years. Crippled, couldn't walk. And he laid down. Back then they had angels that would come down every now and then and mess water up. And whoever the first person stepped in after the water's messed up would get healed. Well, this guy couldn't do it because he couldn't walk. And everybody'd step in before him. 38 years. Somebody said he's 38 years old. Now, I don't know how old he was. He might have been a lot older. But he laid there for 38 years. 38 years. That's a long time to lay sick. Man, I hate to lay sick for 38 minutes. I tore up my knee playing basketball, and they put me over. I didn't stay in the hospital but one night. I thought I was going crazy. I thought, Lord have mercy, this is forever and ever and ever. It was awful. 38 years the man laid on a bed. But guess who came by one day? The Lord. And the Lord looked at him, and he said, you can go ahead and get up. You don't have to wait on no angel or nothing. My father made that angel. And he gave him the power to do all that. Get up and walk. And buddy, that guy jumped up out of there and blew it there. I mean, it blew their mind. I'll guarantee you that fella was never the same. He went back home. He come over at the church, helped his work. He climbed up on ladders. I mean, after that, people couldn't believe it. I mean, he was out playing football with his grandkids. And somebody said, hey, man. He said, I've never been the same since that day he came by my house. And he touched me. I've never been the same. You people done the right thing by coming here this morning. Yeah, if all you see is a little guy up here screaming at you, you've missed it. There's somebody here bigger than I am. There's somebody here that's more powerful than this whole universe. His name is Jesus. You meet him this morning, you'll never be the same. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that this morning. You say, why are you hollering so loud? Because this is loud as I can holler. That's why. And if I went over there and got gas the other day over at that service station over yonder, and there's a girl running in. I said, you need to come to church sometime. She said, we sit here and listen to you preach every Sunday. That's what she said. I ain't lying. That's what she said. I ain't lying. You know, sometimes they leave a door back open out there when it's warm weather. She said, well, you got this wind open. She said, we can hear you every Sunday. I said, glory to God. And maybe we ought to put speakers on the end of this building, get the whole community. I'm telling you this morning, brother, you'll never, the disease were never the same. He met a man one time who had a withered hand. And this guy's hand like this right here. And the Lord came up and he said, stretch your hand out. And them religious people were standing around him like that, and they said, "You're working on the Sabbath." That's the way religious people always are. They're more worried about their convictions than they are a man getting healed. You ever met that crowd? Don't pay no attention. I know a lot of Baptists that's like that. They don't care if anybody gets saved. All they're worried about is, well, we're this and we're that, and I don't work on the Sabbath, and I don't smoke, cuss, chew, fool them that do. I don't go to, you know how they are, just full of the devil. And boy, I tell you what, these religious Pharisees stood around him, and they said, "You're not supposed to be healing people on the Sabbath." And the Lord more or less said, "Don't you worry about it." And he said, "Stick out your hand, buddy." And it was whole like the other one. And it was like a baby's skin, man. And you know what? It wasn't like you see them on TV. These healers on TV have give the Lord a bad name. Amen? I mean, we believe in healing, right? Somebody said, "Well, you Baptists don't believe all the Bible." Man told me that one time. He said, "You Baptists don't believe all the Bible. You don't believe in healing." I said, "I ain't never met a Baptist preacher in my life didn't believe in healing. Every Baptist preacher believes in healing. We just don't believe in healers." Make sure you understand that. Of course God can heal. What retard don't know God can heal? God can do anything. Of course He can. But these healers is who I got my doubts about. You know, where it says, "Send me your money and I'll pray for you." Yeah, you know. This guy was born. It ain't like on TV they do it like this. "Well, here he is. He was born with one arm shorter than the other. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Be healed. Oh, it's a miracle." No, it wasn't like that. You know, "Get out the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. Fight, we need going on 3 more stations this week." No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't a sideshow. It wasn't like, you know, the same fella comes in on crutches in every revival and gets healed. It wasn't none of that kind of junk like that. This is the real deal, brother. The Lord was the real deal. And God does heal. God did heal. He still does this morning. Amen. That's right, brother. Yeah, the diseased were never the same. Listen, I'm telling you what, brother. I heard about one of our deacons one time brought me this. He said, "Brother Danny, I thought you might like this. Reverend Ike." I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Reverend Ike. He was some preacher up in Michigan, a black preacher in Michigan. He used to be on the radio. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But he sent out these anointed shower caps. Really did. And had his hand trace drawn on this shower cap. And for a love offering, he'd send you an anointed shower cap. And the whole thing was, you know, you put it on and he'd heal you while you was in the shower. I said, "Lord, have mercy, there's something wrong. The preacher's going to lay hands on you while you're in the shower. I don't want him touching me, do you?" I mean, what kind of idiot? I'd say, "Well, I'm going to get healed while I'm in the shower." And he showed me his hand. Listen, it wasn't like a bunch of junk like that. It wasn't like Daddy Grace and all them guys, you know, who gets on there and said, "Now, friend, I have your radio. I'm here on the radio today, and I can see you out there, and I know you got back troubles, and if you'll send me that check, your back trouble." It wasn't a bunch of crooks like that. That's blasphemy. You know good and well I can get on the radio and say anything. Somebody out there's got it. What's this? Anybody in here got back trouble? Somebody in here got back trouble? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. See, you shouldn't make fun of people. I'm just trying to get you to understand the real thing from the false stuff. Amen? That's right. One fellow came in one morning and said, "Boy, my back's killing me." And somebody said, "Don't confess it." You know, like, you ever work with anybody like that? Don't confess it. If you don't confess it, what do you mean confess it? My back's killing me. Well, don't confess it. You're giving in to the devil. One said, "Well, that old back demon's trying to tell me my back's hurting." Hey, I got news for you. That ain't the devil telling you. Your back really is hurt. If you quit lying, the Lord might heal you. You might as well just say, "My back's killing me. Everybody pray for me." And be honest about it. That's right. And then the Lord might heal you. I tell you, brother, the diseased were never the same. The diseased were never the same. All the way through the Bible, born blind. People born blind. Never could see nothing. He'd touch them just like that. I mean, they could see. But deaf ears, unstopped. He didn't run a test on them. Didn't have to see their insurance card. They didn't have to have Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I mean, brother, he didn't run tests. He didn't have to send off biopsies and all that stuff. He just looked at them and said, "Get up." And they got up. The disease were never the same when they met the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say number 4 this morning. The devils were never the same. The devils were never the same. If you don't believe it, There's a man one time in the Bible who was possessed of demons. Now, according to the Bible, there was enough demons in this man to go in 2,000 hogs. That's a lot of demons. So they're spirits. A demon is a disembodied spirit. And it's looking for a body to live in. That's what a demon is. People say, you believe people are really demon-possessed? Absolutely. They was then, they still are now. If you don't believe people are demon-possessed now, go out and try to witness in public and give out tracts and preach, and you'll find out. But they'll go crazy on you. They'll pull their hair. They'll cuss. They go out of their mind. And this man had enough demons in him to fill up 2,000 hogs. He was standing there like this. All of a sudden, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody ever remains the same after meeting Him. So the Lord come over there that day. Them demons started getting nervous. They said, uh-oh, uh-oh. There He is. Here He comes. Uh-oh. Something tells me, boys, we're fixing to have to move. I said, I like living in this old guy. He's good to us. He likes all the music. He likes rap music. He smokes pot. I mean, he's cool. We don't want to leave him. We like it living in him. And the other said, well, look who's coming. The boss. Jesus stood up right like this. He looked at that guy and said, get out of here. And the demons hollered out and said, no. Now take it easy on us, Lord. Take it easy on us. Don't torment us before our time. Isn't that something? That's interesting, isn't it? They knew. Them spirits knew. They knew they'd done run into somebody bigger than they was. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I might be a little guy. I don't have a lot of strength physically or even spiritually. But I'm telling you, my older brother does. And my father does. And they ain't enough demons in this county to touch me if he's on my side.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord looked at me and He said, scat! And somebody said, what in the world? Did somebody turn my phone on? That's the first time that's ever happened. You don't believe I'm a ventriloquist, do you? Wow. Listen to me. Do you hear me this morning, brother? That's never happened ever before in my life. Somebody trying to call me while I was preaching. And you know I'm preaching, you heathen. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You hear me, ladies and gentlemen? This thing coming up, guess what I'm talking about when that happens? And the Lord says, get! And them demons says, where are we going to go? And they run down this way, and there's 2,000 pigs feeding on the hillside. 2,000 pigs, and the demons run into pigs, and the pigs get stiff and turn right down the hill and jump off the cliff. Commit homicide. Suicide, some other preacher said. That's the first case in the Bible of devil ham. And you're slow, I'm telling you. You people are slow. Well, anyway, they came around like this, and they come running down through there, and somebody said this. Somebody said, what happened to them demons? They said, well, the demons didn't drown. The hogs drowned, but the demons did. The demons come out on the other side, soaking wet, stuck up a sign and said, baptism saves. The Church of Christ meets here. And they kept on going. But you're slow on that too, so we'll move on. We'll move on. Listen, them demons still alive today, brother. They're still alive today. I'm telling you, the devils were never the same. The devils, the Bible said, were subject unto him. Subject, think about that. Nobody had ever come in history. Nobody had ever come in history that devils had to leave when they told them to leave. I want to say lastly this morning, the dead were never the same. The dead were never the same. Now, we're talking about a doctor here now. We're talking about a doctor that can get you better after you're dead. How about that?
Yeah.
Now, that's what I call a doctor. Somebody said, well, he's the best doctor in town. Well, let's take him a few dead people and we'll find out what kind of doctor he is. I mean, take grandma over there after she died. One fellow came in, been dead 4 days, and the Lord said, get up. He got up feeling fine, walked around, nothing wrong with him at all. I'm telling you, the dead were never the same. Those that were physically dead. We know this story there of the widow of Nain. You know that story, the widow of Nain's boy? Little boy, 8, 10, 12 years old. And that little old boy, he comes come down through there like this, and the Bible says he died. And they were having his funeral. They were having his funeral. Now imagine. They were all sad. All them camels lined up down through there with their headlights on. I mean, everybody had on black. I mean, they was pulling that little casket called a bier in the Bible. B-I-E-R. And they was pulling that little dead body. And here they went across that terrain. A funeral service. The mama was crying. She was a widow. Her husband had already died. Her boy had now died. And there she was. A funeral service. Funeral service. Did you know, here come Jesus? Did you know you can search the whole Bible and you never find where Jesus preached a funeral service? He went to a wedding, but he never did go to a funeral. For some reason, you can't stay dead around him. Every time he showed up, the dead person got up. Now, weddings and funerals, I mean, I do a lot of both of them, and I don't like neither one of them. I sort of feel the same spirit. Honestly, you almost feel the same spirit as a funeral and a wedding. You know, everybody's real stiff and quiet. That's awful, ain't it? Anyway, I'll give you time to think about that. Anyway, this boy's coming down through there, and the Lord came over there, and the Bible said he just went over and went, touched that box. What about that? Touched the box, and the lid flew open, and the kid raised up, said, "Mama, I'm starving. Let's go get something to eat." I mean, she went, "Wow!" And everybody took. And I can imagine that old funeral director, boy, that swallowed his cigar. I'll bet you he went back to town. I'm telling you, I can see him coming back in. I can see him coming back in, slamming his fist down. "Myrtle, I like that heart attack, Myrtle. You make sure they're dead next time." That's three times this month. You know, every time this one certain preacher shows up, the dead goes back. We repossess the casket, have to fill the grave up. I'm telling you this morning, the dead were never the same. When he come around, the dead were never the same. Listen, you don't think that would bother you? That'd shake up your day, brother. See a dead man pop up out of the casket. We've had them stay in the church before, and you know the funeral home won't let you keep a dead body in the church anymore like you used to. There's idiots out there that'll come and get them, eat them, stuff like that. And we've had dead people in the church, so somebody in the family would have to stay there all night long. I'm telling you, it's spooky enough in a church by yourself at night when there ain't no dead person laying in here. I ain't going to volunteer for that job. That's a little too spooky. You say, "Well, ain't going to bother you." I know, but Lord have mercy. They laid this guy in there. Can you imagine him? These guys going down the road, and they said this fellow was carrying a casket in the back of the truck. And he stopped. Some guy standing on the side of the road hitchhiking. He stopped and said, "Hop in." So he hopped in the back of the truck, and he's sitting there. And in a few minutes, it started pouring the rain. And that guy back there said, "Well, I'll just slide down in this thing." He opened the lid of that casket and got situated down in there and fixed out and closed the lid on that rain. About 2 or 3 miles down the road, there's another fella hitchhiking. Well, this guy pulled him over. He said, "Get in." That guy hopped in the back like that, and it quit raining by now, and directly the sun came out and it started getting hot. That guy's burning up in there, and son, he throwed that lid up and popped up and said, "Well, it's quit raining, ain't it?" And that other guy, he jumped out and it killed him. They said that real loud. I mean, said, "Kill that." Don't you think, brother, it'd wake you up if you saw a casket open up and a dead man raise up? You better believe it. What do you think about them people as Lazarus pallbearers thought when they saw him down at the golf course the next evening? What do you think about them people at the corner that signed his death warrant thought when Lazarus downtown saying, "How you do?" So you say, "Oh my goodness, Lord, the night of the living dead, and Stephen King's here," or whatever his name is. That old idiot writes all them scary movies. I'm telling you, the dead were never the same. Not only physical dead, spiritual dead. Spiritual dead. The night I met the Lord Jesus, I was 18 years old. There's a few people in here that knew me before I was saved. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of water's run under the bridge since then. I've not been everything I could be or should be, everything the Lord wants me to be. I'm going to tell you something this morning. With my hand to heaven, from that night to this, I've never been the same. And if you're saved, you know the same thing. You know the same thing. The dead are never the same. I was dead in trespasses and sin. Ain't that right, Brandy? You was too. It was her birthday the other day. Ain't that a blessing? It was her birthday. And you know what? It was my birthday that morning. That night I got saved. My spiritual birthday. The night I got saved, all I wanted to do was play basketball. I wanted to play music when I was young. We went to school. Somebody asked me, they said, did you dance? I never danced. I always thought a boy that danced was, you know, not a real boy. That's what I used to think. Any boy that danced is a sissy. But I wanted to play the music. I said, I'll play the music and let them dance. And so we had bands, and I played in bands and everything, you know. I wore my fingers out playing the guitar and everything. But then I started playing basketball. And I loved basketball, still do to this day. And boy, I mean, but we played hours and hours. We played and we played. And I was just like a lot of young people out here, going my way. If you would have lined up every boy in my high school graduating class and said, who's going to be a preacher? I would have been last or next to the last, I guarantee it. No, not him. No way. He can't be still long enough to be a preacher. He can't sit down and read a book. I hated reading in school. They had to make me read. When I had to do a book report, I read the first page, middle page, last page, and said, this is very interesting. Or something like that. I hated sitting down, hated reading. But I'm telling you something, that night, the night I went to that revival, there's an old preacher preaching revival named Brother Joe Parsons. You ever heard of Brother Joe Parsons? He's dead and gone, I guess, before you. You started serving God, maybe. I don't know how long you've been doing that, but I'm telling you, old Brother Joe was a legend in these mountains. He'd get up and pray at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was sitting right in here where these girls are, right here in Nebo Baptist Church. And that night, God started speaking to my heart, and my mom that y'all been praying for the last 2 weeks, set me on her knee when I was that high and taught me there's a God and there's a heaven and there's a hell. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. If you're a mother here this morning, you can't do anything in this world more important than set your kids on their lap and teach them about Jesus.
That's right.
Ain't no telling where I'd be right now if Mom hadn't done that. You ladies think, well, as soon as they're born, I'm getting back out and getting me a job. I got to make money. I want a new car. You can't do nothing no more important than set your kids on your lap when they're little and teach them that Bible and tell them about Jesus Christ. Can't do nothing no more important. And that night, everything I had ever done started flashing in front of my face. And this girl turned around at me and she said, Danny, why don't you get saved? And people started going right and left, right and left, right and left, right and left, right and left. And I said, man, I ain't going up there. Everybody, I had long hair. I had an old pair of blue jeans. I said, they'll stare at me. I know how these people are. They're looking at me now. And I said, I ain't going to do it. About that time, my cousin was standing right beside me. Punched me like that and said, hey man, let's go get saved. I said, I ain't ready to get saved. It ain't my time. Man, I was as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'm telling you, I tell you what, brother, I was sitting there and I stood there and I stood there, and about that time something said, it ain't going to matter what people think when you're in hell. And I can remember my mom saying, there's a hell. Hell's an awful place. You burn forever. And that night, I put one foot out in front of the other and the other in front of that. And I started down that aisle, ladies and gentlemen, 18 years old. I walked in that church. I fell down about right here. There were so many people over here, you couldn't get to the altar on either side. I bawled my eyes out. And 45 minutes later, I stood up. As the song said, I met the Master face to face. I met Jesus. He come into my heart. He was real to me that night. And He changed me. And from that night to this, hallelujah, I've never been the same.
Amen.
I stood up. And I didn't even go sit back down. I sat down on the front row. On the front row. And that old preacher got up. And it looked like there was 100 in the altar that night. And that old preacher pointed down at me and said, you get everything straight, son? I said, yes, sir. And somebody come up that night after church and hugged my neck and said, boy, I'm proud of you, Danny. You're going to be a preacher. And I said, what a joke.
I've been preaching 30 years, and some of them still says I'm a joke. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you one thing right now. You can go out here and hear a lot of people, oh, that Danny Castle. You can hear a lot of people talk about me. But I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. They don't know me, and they don't know my heart, and they don't know what Jesus done for me. I ain't never been the same. I've failed Him many times. I've failed the Lord 1,000 times. But I'm telling you, there's something inside me this morning that wasn't there before then, and it's been there ever second since. You ain't never the same after you meet Him.
Amen.
It's a blessing. They went back to their country another way. Another way. And you can too. Old George Mueller was one of the greatest men that's ever lived. He was a thief. And in prison when he's 16. Back then they put you in prison when you're 16. When he's 20 years old, he got saved. And when he got saved, somebody's hot pockets is done. And when he got saved, they said he gave away $135,000, and that'd be like $100 million now, 1800. And he raised millions of dollars to feed orphans and read the Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees, and prayed in his money. Never even took up an offering. They said sometimes them orphanages that be over there, they didn't have nothing to eat. And all the kids would be sitting at the table and there wouldn't be no food in the house. And George Mueller would stand up and say, Lord, thank you for the food we're about ready to eat. And there wasn't none in the house. And before he got through praying, somebody knocked on that door. This man said, I got a bunch of flour and got a bunch of meat here and just give it to them and set it down them kids could eat. You know what? Man's never the same. What took George Mueller from prison as a thief to giving away $1 million or $135,000 then and feeding kids till the day he died and read the Bible through 200 times. I just finished my Bible again the other day. We're going to recognize everybody that's read their Bible through. They said, you couldn't have paid me money to read that through before I got saved. I've read the New Testament probably maybe close to 70 times, and I'm not a reader. And I've read the Old Testament, you know, maybe between 25 and 30. We'll be talking about that on New Year's Eve. You're never the same after meeting Jesus. I went home that night and went to bed, and my mom, that we've been praying for, was standing there wiping the sink. My mom, what kind of picture you got of your mother growing up? When I picture my mother growing up, she had a dish rag in her hand and just constantly wiping stuff. If you just got it, she'd have your plate. You ain't through eating yet. She done got your plate in the sink washing it. That's ridiculous. You ever met anybody like that? You just get up and go to the bathroom. So Daddy said he'd get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom and come back and his bed be made up. But he stretched it. He stretched it. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Mom was standing there in the kitchen. And I hadn't been saved but 2 hours. And I come in and there was a voice inside me said, tell her. Now you tell me where that come from. Did that happen to you? Did something like that happen to you? Something inside said, tell her. I said, Mom. She said, what, Danny? I said, I've been to church. She said, you have? We didn't go to church. She tried to go all the time when he was little. Daddy fussed at her and took the car, and she didn't have no way. But Mom lived right all them years and went every time she could. She couldn't believe that I went to church on my own. I said, Mom, I've been to church. And she said, well, good, son. And that whatever that was inside me said, tell her what happened. Just as plain as I'm talking to you right now. I said, Mom, I got saved. Boy, when I said that, something busted loose in my soul. Boy, it's just like that confirmed. That's why the Bible said, confess Him before men. Yeah. When you tell somebody you got saved, it seals it right there.
Amen.
I said, Mom, I got saved. She hugged me and I hugged her. She said, I'm so proud of you. Her prayers have been answered. I went home. I went to bed and laid down, went to sleep. Got up the next morning, rode a motorcycle to work. Right over there on exit 100, that plant used where I worked, first shift. And I worked for this black boy, and he was wicked. He was selling drugs. He was selling marijuana, and I never touched it. Never was around it. I wouldn't even touch it. Thank God I didn't. And that morning, me and him got fired. That morning. And I went back home and laid down on the bed again, and my uncle come in the house, and I heard him in there saying, "I heard about Danny getting saved." And I said, "Boy, it's all over town. Too late to back out now." I said, "Good. I want everybody to know it. I want everybody to know that I met somebody." I went to the store out there, the store there in Nebo, my cousin, Linda Houck's sister, and her daddy built that store, my Uncle Jack. And I sat down there, we'd sit on the drink boxes. And my buddy come in, one of my best friends, and he come in that, pulled up there to get gas, said, "Let's go play some ball." I said, "Nope, in church." "What?" He said, I'm going to church tonight." I said, "I got saved." He turned as white as that piece of paper right there. The look on his face, whoa! Guess what? He went home, got dressed, and come, and he got saved that night.
Amen.
And I mean, it's just one thing right after another. And brother, it's too many dangers, tolls, and snares. I have already come. Beaten, battered, scarred now. But thank God, I've never been the same since I met Him. And by His grace, He's going to take us on in. And you'll have to say with me, you're never the same after meeting Jesus. You may be here this morning and say, "Brother Danny, I've been saved, but I ain't living right." Guess what? God sent you here this morning to hear this sermon. He wants to help you. He wants to save you. Let's stand with our heads bowed.